for an hour, praising God. This last week I've been feeling some exhaustion, not feeling well from various things happening in my body. So I'll take my ease and trust God. But doesn't matter what you're feeling like, it's what's happening in the heavenlies. What is happening? God is in control. No matter what you're thinking you're going to do, God has his intended plan for you. And it's learning to submit to his plan, learning to submit to his ways, and as we do that, we'll see God moving in power in our lives. And what you have intentions of, and it's, don't get me wrong, it's not bad to make plans, it's good to make plans. Because then that way, you'll know what it is when God changes your plans to learn to accept change. We don't like change. We are comfortable in what we are doing now, most of us, aren't we? You know, we like to have things set in order, and we are happy with that routine. But God is about to change things for you. Then we get scared. And then we start to panic when things are just aren't going the way we want them to go. But that's okay. Remember this, God is still on the throne. And as the psalm said today, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts and worship the Lord in holy attire. That's the New American Standard. I think the King James says, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. That's the same psalm that Ken read. you were outside, my dear. Yes, Psalm 96, and that was verse 8. Sorry, my dear. And so we have to learn to begin to worship the Lord and begin to magnify his name. We have to learn to do these things. And when I say we, I mean all of us have to learn to do it. And just because you got saved and you came to church, and that does not mean to say you know how to worship God. Just because your parents were always in church and you were born in basically just about in church, and from the very first few moments that you took breath you were in church surroundings, that does not mean you know how to worship God, does it? Each and every one of us has to learn from the scripture to be taught of the Lord on how to worship God. This last week or two I picked a couple of books up, and the titles were Praise and Worship, basically along that line. Their books I've had for a number of years, so I thought, I'll just refresh my mind and just see what it says about worship. One of them had, I suppose each book has something like, 17 chapters, we'll say approximately. One of the books had one chapter on worship. The rest of it was all on praise. And the other book had a part of a chapter on worship. And I thought, we're missing it somewhere. You see, worship is an attitude. And worship, as Grace says, is a lifestyle. We give praise to football players when they score a goal. And if we're not careful, we go too far and we start worshipping them as idols. We start worshipping people as idols. But when it comes to God, because we can't see him, we don't worship him. We'll sing songs of praise because that's easy. That makes us feel good, doesn't it? When we have an upbeat song, we all feel good, don't we? You know, we all like to tap our feet a bit, you know. I mean, young people will go to the discos and dance in the discos, but they won't dance in church. Not sure why. Maybe we haven't got the right pop. But the Word of God tells us that we must come and worship Him. And we must come, when it says holy attire, I mean, I believe to some degree, there was a dress code, there was a dress code for the priesthood. But before the priesthood could get to that dress code, there had to be a preparation of the outward and inner man. Hey! There has to be a dress code of the outward and the inner man. And we need to, I think at some stage we're going to carry on and do some teaching or in that area about our dress code of our inner man and our preparation that we need to have as we come to worship God. Because He's the creator of all things. He's the one who made you and me. He's the one who has great plans for you. Don't get excited about it, you know, just sit there, you'll be okay. I heard on the news today, or not on the news, on a program today, that this nation at the moment has 11 days of fuel in hand. So if we have a crisis, we have 11 days of fuel, and after that the lights will start to go out. The rest of Europe has something like 52 days of fuel in hand. The nation's running hand to mouth. But guess what? God's still on the throne. They're saying that industry could suffer if suddenly the weather turns real cold. Get an odd strike and industry will suffer. That puts fear in people's minds. Straight away people start to fear. People start to stock up. People start to panic. Don't panic. God's on the throne. And He changes not. The Word of God tells that, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen? He's not going to change. And our responsibility is that we are going to learn to change. Hansapool likes change. Oh, Bill likes a bit of change. Glory to God. Pardon? Praise God, right. Yeah, I mean, that's the right sort of approach to take. That, you know, you, particularly in the last few years, the changes that have gone on in your life have been a tremendous benefit. The only problem is, Bill, that the longer you are saved and in the kingdom of God and things are sort of, if shall we say, things tick along, we get comfortable in that situation and we don't want that situation to change, because we, you know, we start to think back in the old mindset of, well, you know, I'm comfortable as I am. But God wants change for you. God wants to expand you. God wants you to grow. Not grow fat and stodgy. But He wants you to grow spiritually. He wants you to grow in anointing. He wants you to grow in His power. He wants you to grow in His joy. He wants you to grow in His goodness. This is what God wants for you. So many people think God's got a down on them. Well, you know, when you begin to see and to think what God has for us, you can then begin to really worship Him. Because as we worship Him, God will pour out onto us the blessings. Life, everlasting. Strength. Wisdom and knowledge and revelation. And as with the children of Israel that wandered around the wilderness for 40 years without Sainsbury's, without Tesco's, without Morrison's, without designer shops where you go and get your fashion fix, without Meadow Hall, or Meadow Hell as some others refer to it, without all those places, God kept the children of Israel for 40 years going around the wilderness. He kept them in food and water. Their clothes never wore out. And before they left Egypt, Egypt gave them gold, silver, jewels, clothing, carts, oxen, and herds, and they gave them everything that they would ever need for 40 years. They gave them everything they ever need so that when they got to the promised land, they had all that they needed for the promised land. But they didn't realize there was a bonus in the promised land. There were cities already built. There were houses already built, just waiting for them to go and take possession. Jesus has gone to build a city whose builder and maker is God. He's gone to prepare a place for each and every one of us. He said to his disciples, "Don't worry, because in my Father's house there are many mansions." That seems a bit of a contradiction of terms. It's a house with mansions, doesn't it? Oh, is that right? A mansion can be in a splendid room or an apartment. So, we've got splendid rooms and apartments waiting for us. Hallelujah. I can handle that. Because what you've got now, God will better it. With a surety. But whatever you have now, God will better that. Whatever your dreams and aspirations are, God will better those. But first we must worship and we must focus on Him. You see, it's about you and I focusing upon Jesus, not about what we can get. Problem with the world today is they focus on what can I get me, what can I get. And they are, today's people are gimme, 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 gimme. They're always trying to get for self. The Word encourages us to give. And as you give, God will give back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God give unto you. To some people it's easy to give, and also sometimes to those sort of people it's hard for them to receive. And I put myself in that category. I enjoy giving. I enjoy giving of myself. I enjoy giving of what I've got. I enjoy that. It gives me a thrill. It excites me, and it's a blessing to me. But I have great problems in receiving. That's something I have to work on. I have to let God do His work on me. I enjoy worshipping the Lord. I enjoy singing praises unto Him. And I enjoy coming into His presence. And God enjoys you coming into His presence as He enjoys me coming into His presence. And so we need to realize that when we come to church, when we come into this room, when we come as the church, that will be a better word. This is not a church, this is a sheep shed. This is just a building. Just because somebody puts a title over it and says church, what does that mean? Does that mean I could go to my garage and just put a sign over the garage and say church? That's exactly right, I could. But does that make it a place for God? You could put a sign over here and put garage, couldn't you? That's what you put in the sign that matters, yeah. But you see, this is the church. You are the church. Your physical body is the church of God. This is the temple. The Word of God says that this is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He dwells within us. The Lord Jesus Christ caused us to be born again of the Spirit, and caused us to be born of His Spirit, and caused us to be born of Him. And so this is now the temple. And so we come together as temples. And as we come together as temples, we are the church of Jesus Christ. This building is not the church of Jesus Christ. This building is a building. Because maybe in 50 years' time, this building possibly could have fallen down. Then what will it be? A ruin? A pile of rubble? But this building, our bodies, are the temples of the living God. And the Word tells us that we shall never die. Did you say that earlier on today? Is that something you said today? It's ringing in my ears that basically that, you know, that we shall never die. And that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that He is in us, and God is moving through us. And so we need to learn to worship God in spirit and in truth. And as we do that, we shall see God moving in great power, great majesty. And we shall see God causing His blessings to fall upon us in a wonderful way. Amen. Paul was sharing something with me earlier on. And have you got your pen, Paul? If you'd like to just write this down, Paul. I've got a scripture for you. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Paul was saying earlier on to me, he said, you know, he's been praying about the situation in Pakistan, wondering how to pray. And he says he was led to pray in the Spirit. When you don't know how to pray, when you don't know what to pray, when your brain's in a mess, when you're confused, don't pray. Don't pray with your understanding. Alright? Let me just hammer the nails on. Do not try and pray with your understanding. You need to pray in the realm of the Spirit of God, and let your spirit begin to intercede on your behalf or on behalf of others. And so you begin to pray. And as you pray in the Spirit, you find that in your praying there'll be worship. And as you pray in the Spirit, you begin, the Holy Spirit will cause you to pray the things that are needed, the things that God wants to do in Pakistan. And so God will begin to move through you, and He will begin to quicken that work in you. And that's what God wants to do in each and every one of us. But let me encourage you, if you pray in the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 13 it says, therefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, that he may pray, that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, and my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So Paul says he knows that we can pray in the Spirit, and it will be effective. But he says there's another thing that you can also do. Expand your borders, stretch yourselves spiritually, and pray that you will be able to interpret what you've been praying. He's thrown out a challenge. Stretch yourself. Move forward.
So that when you get that understanding, your understanding will be fruitful. In other words, in your mind also you'll be encouraged. You are encouraged when you pray in the Spirit, your spirit is encouraged. And you are quickened and you know that something is happening. But you're not sure what it is. But you know something's happening. Because suddenly you've got a peace. I've told you times of the story, but there are people here today who have not heard this story. That some years ago I was praying at home, and I had a picture of a young girl around about 6 years old, and I recognised this girl, and she was in pain and in a lot of agony. Now I knew that this girl was the daughter of a missionary friend of mine who was living out in Spain. Not heard from them for a number of years, so I began to pray in tongues for his daughter. And I prayed for a time until I felt the burden, until I felt the heaviness lift from me. And I knew that God had sent the answer. Some weeks later, it just sort of, the question came up into my mind, what was going on? So I wrote to him. And he wrote back to me and he said, well, that's encouraging, he said, because during that time, or at that time that you were praying, our daughter was seriously ill with chicken pox. She was in a lot of pain. I think she was in her early teens at that time, yet I saw her as I last had seen her, but I knew who it was. And so he said to me, all the three children had suffered with this, but she was suffering the worst. She was the eldest of the children, and she was suffering more than any of the others. And he said, at that time, there suddenly became a turn. And God began to heal her and set her free, and the pain began to go. And I just thank God for that. Because you see, you don't have to be there physically. But you do have to be in tune spiritually. You do have to be ready spiritually. And one way of being ready spiritually is when we begin to worship God. Because as we worship God, we tune our spirits into His Holy Spirit. And you know, the Holy Spirit will tell you things that are going on in the spiritual realm and in around you, and He will tell you what is going on. He will whisper to you what God is saying about your situation and circumstances, so that He will guide you how to pray. And so we need to realize that our worship causes us to touch heaven with the right sort of connectors, and we begin to see God moving in power in our own lives. And we begin to see a quickening. Who wants to see a quickening? Who wants to see changes? Prayer is pressing in. And it's about that. If you and I will not press in, then God will not force us to. I'm a little rested now. I'm being charged whilst I was sharing. Can you just pass one of those sheets out, please? Thank you. That's right. I knew it. I'd heard it. And yeah, thanks. It was. And it quickened again to me. Yeah, in John's Gospel. During the communion service, and it was that quickening. And thank God for that. You can make some notes on these if, as and when you wish. This is just giving you some of the scripture references that we've gone through for this last 2-3 weeks, whatever it might be. We've made numerous attempts to finish this topic on worship. Failed dramatically, but that's okay. But we've still heard God. Amen. As He's wanted to minister in different areas in our lives. And we've talked about that the first time of worship was the time when Cain and Abel went before the Lord and brought an offering to worship God, and that the offering was rejected of Cain because he offered from the cursed ground. You cannot offer a curse to God.
No.
You cannot offer from that which is cursed. You have to bring an offering of God's blessings. You and I have to bring ourselves to a place where we are flowing in God's anointing. I didn't say you were to be perfect. That is a process that is now ongoing. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. You can look in the mirror and you can say, well, thank God it's work in progress. Isn't it? It is. You are work in progress. Praise God. You're a job that's not going to be finished till Jesus Christ returns, or until you pass on into His eternity. Well, you're not even going to be finished then when you pass on into His eternity, because the day of your perfection is when He returns. So even when you go on before us, if God permits that some of you pass on into eternity before some of us, the work of perfection is still ongoing in you. You won't suddenly just arrive there. Because those saints who have died and gone on to heaven, gone on before into the presence of God, they're in school. They're being taught the word of the Lord. And the Bible says that when we, down here on the earth, are made perfect, then those who have gone before us, who are in school in the heavenly realm, then they too shall be made perfect. So guess what? Heaven is waiting on the earth. Heaven is waiting upon you and I to get it right. Some of you are like, really? But I thought that when we crossed over to the other side, that was it. School was out. Tough. No, school's still ongoing. Because God is equipping His saints. You see, when we get to heaven, it's not going to be just a thing of that's it, it's all over and done. We're just going to sit back and lay on a cloud and, you know, see angels fly by with big white fluffy wings on them. It's not going to be like that. That's not God's plan. That's not God's intention. Well, I get bored. I don't know about you. You know, I get bored. I've got to be doing, haven't I? Some people might say, well, there's something wrong with you. You can't sit down and just do nothing. No, I can't. Lots to do. Lots of places to go. Lots of things to see. Lots of things to get involved in. So I just want to do. I'm excited about being able to do things. So I don't want to sit around doing nothing. So I suppose if I got to heaven, and I mean, thank God it says there's silence in heaven for half an hour. Oh, praise God.
That's just when you get here.
No! That's it. When everything happens, there's going to be silence in heaven for half an hour. That's all the silence you're ever going to get. And we all get there. Silence for half an hour. Some of you can't handle 5 minutes. So half an hour is going to just about kill you. In it, you know. Those of us that came out of Assemblies of God, we could not handle a prayer meeting when there was 5-10 minutes of silence. Somebody had to sing a chorus. Dear God, we've got to have a chorus, you know. We can't let this silence go on for this long. Even if it's he'll be coming round the mountains when he comes, it didn't matter. Singing, aye, aye, yippee, here he comes, you know. I mean, glory to God. I mean, that's not even a chorus, folk. A worldly song. He'll be coming round the mountains when he comes. He'll be coming round the mountain when he comes. He'll be coming round the mountains, coming round the mountains, coming round the mountains when he comes. Singing, aye, aye, yippee, yippee, aye. I mean, come on. You know, that did happen in the church one time. Church we were in. Glory to God. Singing, aye, aye, yippee, yippee, aye. I don't think he'll quite be, you know, well, he may, who knows, I mean. But we hate silence. Can't handle it, some people. I do. When your life gets to be so busy, I mean, at my office, I spend most of my day on a phone at times, don't I? Very often, I have one of these headset earpieces because you know I have to do something else while I'm on the phone. You know, the other day I was on the phone for 45 minutes talking to somebody in France. I spend all that time on the phone. I spend hours at times at work on the phone. And I get home, and the phone rings, and I go, oh, no. I don't want to answer the phone. I've been on the phone all day. I just want to get away from it. So I let Grace answer it. She answers the phone. But there are times when you just love to hear silence. I love it on a Sunday in our back garden by the pond, sun shining. And you sat out there, it's quiet, the birds are singing, they're coming on the feeders and everything. And the next door neighbour, who is retired, then gets out his petrol lawnmower.
I think he's retired. He has 6 days a week when I'm not at home, just about. I'm not there, and he could cut grass. The only time I sit at home in my castle. For peace and quiet. And he gets his lawnmower out. I start praying, Lord, cause that lawnmower to break down, please, God. Let him run out of petrol or something, Lord, you know. Oh. Not very Christian-like, is it? But, you know. Times when I just want that quietness. I don't know if I said to you the other week, a couple of weeks back, I'm trying to spend time with God, you know. I'm trying to focus and just rest. We have a Dyson vacuum cleaner. They are about the noisiest thing on the earth in a house. And this thing that we've got has this high-pitched whistle about it. It is irritating. It is annoying. And Grace gets the vacuum cleaner out. I'm thinking, oh. And it gets to a point where I walk out and say, for goodness sake, can't you put that thing away and leave it for a bit? Got to do it sometime. Well, not now. Okay? Must be difficult if you live in a small house. We're big lads. And you're trying to get that bit of
quietness, you know. Must be difficult. Each and every one of us needs to find that place. You have to create that space somehow. You need to, so you can touch God. Because God says he speaks in the still small voice. He's not always shouting. But he has that still small voice that speaks to us. And you know, as we worship him, then we tune our ears, we tune our spirit to hear that still small voice. God wants us to hear his still small voice. But it's only as we worship him that we'll hear that still small voice. And so our worship is an offering unto God. We bring ourselves before the Lord and we begin to worship him. And God wants what is most precious. And that is our time, our heart, which brings our worship. Our heart carries our worship. If you love somebody, you worship them. Your heart carries your worship. And so you need to let your heart rise with on the wings of worship and enter into the presence of God and bring your offering of praise and offering of worship unto him. And as you do that, God will begin to speak to you. God will settle your spirit. And God will empower you for the next meeting, the next situation that you come into. As you bring your gifts before the Lord, God will give back to you. He's promised to do that. And there will come a greater empowering in your life as you learn to worship him. Because you see, as you learn to worship and you learn to still your spirit from the turmoil that is going on around you, because the world seeks to crash in constantly. The world seeks to bring stress. Anybody know what that's about? Eh? That's what the world seeks to do. It brings stress. Causes heart attacks, angina, and everything else along the way. Causes your body to become physically wrecked. Chasing after the best job, chasing after the best situation, chasing after what in our eyes seems to be best. And yet, I can say from my life that God has supplied finance and miracles beyond our understanding, beyond our explanation. But it is through being resting in him, letting God do the work in your life. It is putting God first, and as you put God first, everything else will come into line. If you put anything else before God, you're out of line, you're misaligned. If you put God first, then all these other things shall be added unto you. But you see, really, before we can put God first, is we've got to learn to try to understand to worship him. We've got to catch a vision, a picture of God. We've got to catch something of God's glory. We've got to somehow see something of God working in our life and in the lives of others, and God working through us somehow. So there has to be a time of quickening. So to find this, to see this, we have to spend time in the presence of God and be still. The word says, be still and know that I am God. The problem is we're all doing. We're never still enough for us to actually get a picture of God. Always got to
Always having to prove oneself. Always having to hit targets. Always having to arrive at this sort of... And constantly the world is pressing us to do this, to do this, to do this. And yet God is saying, be holy as I am holy. God is saying, come into my presence and rest a while. God is saying, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will, not I might, not I maybe, but I will give you rest. There is an abundance in God that you and I have not yet touched. And we need to stretch ourselves in God for that, reaching out to God, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 15. This is about where we finished off 2 or 3 weeks ago. We went elsewhere last week. Chapter 15 and verse 9. This is Jesus talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 8 says, "This people honour me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me." These are church people, by the way. This was the establishment. These were the people who ran the temple. These were the people who organized temple worship, organized the laws and decrees of Moses, and a few others that they added in themselves, but weren't of God. And Jesus says, "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men," the commandments of men. Not the commandments of God, but the commandments of men. And we as the Church of Jesus Christ have got to get back to the commandments of God. We've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to find out what the Word of God is saying to us and not what we think it's saying to suit our situation. Over the last 35 years or more that I've been in church life, I have seen people bend the Word of God to fit their situation and circumstance. And I'll tell you this, the moment that you start to abuse and to bend and misuse the Word of God, you are heading for disaster. It doesn't work that way. We have to bend and we have to be moulded to the Word of God. Not the Word of God moulded around us and our situation and my circumstances. "But Andrew, you don't understand what I'm going through." That's true, I don't. But God does. And God has already made provision for every situation that you and I will ever get into. Oh, don't get excited about it, you know what I mean. He knows that you're going to fall down before you fall. He knows when you're going to hit a financial brick wall. But guess what? If you believe God and believe His Word, He's already made a provision and He has made a way of escape. But if your focus is on the problem, you'll not see the way of escape. You'll be what the world calls colourblind. You'll not see the open door. Because the problem seeks to mask the way of escape. And it blends in colours. And so you stand there and you think, "I can't find a way out of this." That's true, you cannot, because you are looking through your own natural eyes. Yeah.
But the moment you put on the eyes of the Spirit, you see the way of escape. And God has made a way of escape for every one of us. He takes us to another level. He brings deliverance and He sets us free. But you see, it's in our worship that our spiritual eyes are open and that we see Jesus moving in power. It's not during our praise. Two different things, praise and worship. In our praise, we're so excited, we're so thrilled about what He's already done for us that our focus is on what He's done for us, and we're telling Him what He's done for us, and we're so happy and so excited about it. And praise is all of that going on. But worship is when we look to Him and see who He is, what He is, how powerful He is, how enormous He is, and that out of nothing He created the universe, and out of His mouth He created you, a living soul. And God has done all these things and so many more things that He's done for each and every one of us. And when we begin to realize that, it's not praise, but it is worship and adoration for His greatness, His vastness, His beauty, His glory, His might, His power, His magnificence, His mystery. You begin to worship God for all of those things. You don't praise Him for them. You worship Him for them. You praise Him for what He's done for you. So often our songs of praise are about what we want and what we need. Well, you could line them up with some of the pop songs. If you're not careful. Line one or two up with one or two of the Beatles songs. I want money, that's what I want. I want money, that's what I want. You say to people, young people, what do you want out of life? Oh, I want a good job, I want a nice house, posh car. Oh, you want a pile of debt, do you? Well, you need money to get all of those. A lot of people are just getting those by piles of debt. True? I don't envy what young people have got to go for this, you know, now. But I'll tell you this, I know a greater way, a greater answer. I know that God kept Grace and I for 15 years at least with a mortgage, not earning big money at all. In fact, for the first 3 years, we were earning 10%. Well, I was earning 10% of my previous earnings. And so we were living on about 27% of our earnings for the next 3 years. We never missed a mortgage payment. I have no idea how, because on a calculator, we were in the red and we were in debt. We were never in the red. We were never in debt. We never missed a mortgage payment. And God made sure we had a new car. And God did that for the next 7 years or more. God provided every time. And do you know something? The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He's still the same. And He's going to provide for me tomorrow, the day after that, and the day after that, as long as I walk the walk. Amen. As long as I lift Him up, and as long as I worship Him in spirit and in truth with my heart, He will see that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he will not be cast down. For it says the Lord upholds him with His hand.
And I'll guarantee every one of you will fall, every one of you will fail and make mistakes, but it's time for each and every one of us then to refocus. We took our eyes off God. We let other things interfere. We let other things take control. We let our emotions take control. We let our eyes take control. And we stopped our spirit. Stopped our spirit from listening to God. See that temptation there? Eh? All right. Taking this temptation away. I like biscuits. And so Jesus refers to these people of vain worship. God is not interested in vain worship. God wants you to worship Him in spirit and truth. So there's a conflict going on. Jesus rebukes these people, transgressing the commandments of God. God wants you and I to be moving in His anointing. We have to remember that our Lord Jesus is the lawgiver of the church. He's the head of the church. Yeah. Not the Pope. No. Not the Archbishop of Canterbury. What's his name? Rowan Williams. I thought it was a comedian at first when the man told me his name. I was getting mixed up with somebody else, weren't I? Obviously, Rowan Atkins. Might as well. Sorry about that, but I listened to him one time sharing something on TV, and when he'd finished I was none the wiser. He'd use words that were that long that I would have spent all day with a dictionary, and by the time I got the message from the dictionary I'd have still been lost. Jesus came to the people and He spoke plainly. He didn't make it complicated. I mean, what's complicated about this? Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's complicated about that? Now, I'm sure there's another way of saying that. Paul might be able to do it for me, but I could not give you the words. No, I'm sure he won't. No, I'm sure he won't. Praise God for that. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some good men. There are some good men. But you know, we are not about playing political politics and in the church. It is about Jesus Christ. It is not about, you know, playing to the crowd and to the government. It is about declaring the word of God. And some of these men are doing their best to declare the word of the Lord. But some of them are pressurized into corners. And we need to pray for our churches. We need to pray for our ministers that they would catch an anointing from God. Some of you were here when we told you the story about just recently that happened. In Egypt, where a man murdered his wife and buried his two daughters alive. And a few days later, was it her sister died, was it? A relative died, and they went to bury her basically in the same place. Some 5-7 days later, and as they were digging, they dug basically in the same place, and they dug up the two children and the mother that had been buried. Now the mother was dead. The eldest daughter said that a man came in shining garments and he had holes in his hands. and he came and woke up her mother so that her mother could feed, could nurse the baby. And for 5 to 7 days they were under the ground. Where did that child from a Muslim background get the impression, the idea about this man in shining garments with nail prints in his hand? There's only one man in shining garments with nail prints in his hand, and his name is Jesus. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not part of the Muslim faith. He's not part of the Arabs in their faith at all. But yet he appears. I tell you, there's got to be something happening. Amen. And we need to pray that God's Spirit will go throughout all the earth. And I tell you, as we worship him, we will release the power of heaven on the earth. But it's about you and I worshipping God for who he is. Not for what we can get out of him. Not for what he's going to do for us. Because, let me tell you this, when you start to worship God, life will get better. But there may be some mountains to climb. There may be some valleys to go through. But guess what? I've read the end of the book. And it says, we win. We win. It says we win. And so we've got something to worship about. We've got things to rejoice about. We can praise him. But we've got to get hold of the spirit of worship. Without worship, we're lost. Why do I say that? Because there's a lot of praise going on. And a lot of the new songs that have come out in these last few years, you want to sit and read the words. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against new songs. A lot of them about me, 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 and my needs. I'm sorry. If you want your needs met, the quickest way to get your needs met is to focus on Jesus and to meet the needs of others. You say, well, I don't have the ability, I don't have the wherewithal, I don't have the finance to go and do what I need to do, what I think I should do. Well, pray. But that's not enough. It is, because that is the starting point. You don't pray, you're not going to go nowhere. Praying is like getting a map out and planning your journey. For simple understanding, it's like getting a map out and starting to plan your journey. And as you pray, you're being prepared for the journey. And so you have to pray. I can't pray long, that's okay. Pray for that length of time, and then do something else for a while. Then come back to praying. Your prayer time will grow. The only way it's going to grow is when you and I take hold of this book, his word, and begin to seek his face. And begin to read and find out, who is this Jesus? Do not take it on face value what the media says about him, what school teaches about him, and to some degree, are you ready, Paul? Or what even the church teaches about Jesus. Even the Assemblies of God don't tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And neither do the Church of England, neither do the Catholics, neither do the Methodists, neither do the Baptists. Yeah, there's quite a lot of them now don't even believe in him. In fact, there's a lot of them that go against what the word says. Now, can you imagine if I said to you, oh, I don't, there's a bit in here that I don't like, so I'm going to cut it out, and there's going to be bits, there's going to be holes in these pages, isn't there?
Yeah.
We need to take this book and we need to realize that this is about our Lord Jesus Christ. This is about his power, his authority. This is about God. And when we catch hold of this book, I mean, that psalm that Ken read, absolute blessing. Let's go back to it. Psalm 96, was it? Yeah, Psalm 96. It blessed me. I'm going to ring it from the... I'll read from the New American Standard. I like the New American Standard. If they'd have dropped the American Standard and called it the New Standard, it would have sold like crazy. You see, everybody, oh, American, and just poo-poo, that's okay. I know that not everything good comes out of America, but neither does everything bad. Hallelujah. Have you got Psalm 96? It starts with this. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wondrous deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Now, hey, if that don't give you some goosebumps and get you excited, I don't know what does. You know, I mean, I get so excited. David, he's killed lions, he's killed bears. He's done all these great things, and all he's got is a sling and his bare hands. And God's protected him every night, and he's so excited, and he plays his harp. And he's become skillful at it. So he's singing to the Lord. Verse 4. For greatly is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Oh man, come on. This is a place. You know, this is a place to be. Oh, splendor. I mean, I saw a program just on TV just the other night, and they were showing you the guards, with the shiny breastplates and household cavalry. That's it. That's right. And they were showing them getting ready and getting everything polished up, and their plumes were there and the horses, and they were polishing the shoes on the horses and blacking them and everything had to be absolutely in splendor. And when they went through, they looked awesome. And you know, people were taking pride in that and said, you know, that's part of the pride of this nation. It's part of what we are. It's part of who we are. It is what helped make us great, you know, because we took pride in ourselves. We took pride in what we had. And you know, it's because God said what he was looking for. And our nation was built on those systems. Today, it's not built on that. And these men look absolutely smart and pristine. And even the horses stood proud, you know. They felt good, you could see it. And the officer went round and he'd do a parade check. One guy had been on holiday for 3 weeks. He got the biggest rocket you'd ever seen. His gear was not up to scratch. He told him. He gave him 24 hours to get it cleaned up. Yeah, he got to have it done that day. For the end of that day, was it? And there was another inspection. Well, this kid, he weren't happy, but he got stuck into it. He made it, in the end. Slight criticism, but he made it. It was bringing the discipline to him. But also it's bringing a point of, you know, you've got to look good. And no matter what people do to you when you're on guard duty, You stand there and you can't do anything. You're not allowed to retaliate, even when they're doing things to you. The only thing you can do if you need help is press the bell. Is that right? You are not allowed to. I mean, bear in mind, this guy's got a sword, and you know, I think he'd have problems in them boots moving around. He's just sort of walked a bit like this, you know. They were okay while they were on horses, but you know, these men at one time dressed like this, to some degree, part of it was they were a fighting force. The cavalry. God is making us a fighting force. And he's looking for smartness. He's looking for quickness in the realms of the Spirit. Being smart in the realm of the Spirit. Going for it in the realm of things of God. And so that we are right on. And we can see, as he in verse 6, splendor and majesty are before him. I mean, just reminding me of these guys. I mean, the splendor, the majesty, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Goes on to say then, ascribe to the Lord, O families of peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. Praise God. It will not be moved. Listen, don't care what men are trying to say. I don't care how much fear governments and terrorists seek to put into this world. God has said in his word, indeed the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all in it. Let the fields exult and let all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. And he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. God is coming. He's coming as the just judge. But you know, there's going to be joy in the earth. Hallelujah. And there's going to be righteousness in the earth. And he's coming. But we need to learn to worship him. And we need to praise him. But he has to first come in you and me. And we need to learn to worship him and cast our thoughts before him and cast our crowns before him and grab hold of him in our worship and bless him. So reach out, every one of you. Let's just bow for a moment. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Precious Lord. Hallelujah. Precious Redeemer. Glory to God. Psalm 24 says in verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Father, we just come before you right now. Lord, we pray and just we want to learn to worship you in spirit and in truth. We want to know your power. We want to see your glory. Lord, I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes and that we would see your glory. We would see into the heavenly realms.
that, Lord, we'd stop seeing the darkness around us, and we'd stop seeing the fear mongering, and we'd stop seeing that which people seek to glorify the devil. But Lord, we would see Jesus. And our cry and prayer unto you, Father God, this night is that we would see Jesus. And we would see Jesus only. And that as we see Jesus, that every principality and power and every ruler, false ruler, will be put down. Because there's only one true ruler, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we lift you high. Lord, we magnify your name. And Lord, we give you praise. So right now we just bow before you and we ask, O God, help us, O God, to worship you. Teach us, O Lord. Lord, as we seek to worship you, Father, we pray you would visit us in our worship times, that we might bring the oil of glory and anointing before you. But Lord, that as we pray, Father, and there shall be the incense of our thanksgiving, and our worship shall just rise to you, that we might give you praise and give you glory, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Precious Redeemer. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, we just worship you. We just give you praise. Lord, we adore you. Thank you, Father, you sent Jesus to die on a cross. Thank you, Lord, that you forgave me of all my sins. Lord, I just come before you and bow before you right now and just worship you. Just worship you, Lord. Nobody else could do this, O God, for me. Nobody else could do this for the sins of the world. Only Jesus. So we just bow before you, Lord, and we say thank you. And we worship you. We know, Lord, we cannot pay back. But Lord, we want to bring honour to your name. We want to bring honour to your name, O God. We seek to worship and to uplift that mighty name and to bring glory to your kingdom. Precious Redeemer. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I just want to pray with Nat. Just come out. Dad. Dad, just come out. God's only just begun, you know, with you. You've got to hang in there, haven't you? And it's not been easy, has it? But are you still hanging in? Well, you're here today, aren't you? So you must be just hanging in. Whether you've been dragged in or hanging in, you're still there. Is that right? Come on.